You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You know, a lot of it had to do with just trying to be cautious, having kids, having families. Also, you know, we all have consistent jobs and just our schedules. But really, it came down to, like, not to get too personal, but I had COVID, my wife had COVID, and it was very, very severe for her. And, you know, so just trying to be cautious and trying to be courteous to everyone involved, you know, because it was something that was very important, and it hit our household pretty hard.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious month of January so far. What have you done with your 2022 so far? Have you done something cool? Have you made yourself a little better? Have you tackled a new obstacle? I'm excited to hear what you're up to. Send me a message. Let me know how you have been tackling 2022. So far, this Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of sick gigs all throughout the year, and they also put on one of North America's best metal festivals, and that's the absolute truth. Trust me when I say this, I've played fests all across the globe, and Heavy Montreal are up there with the best of them. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you for you to rate it on the podcast platform of your choice. You can do that on Apple Music, but you can also do that now on Spotify. It's a brand new feature that they've just added for podcasts. So if you do listen to the podcast on Spotify, take a moment and smash a rating. Now, why do I want you to do this? You have to imagine that when someone is looking for a new podcast to listen to, they go and they check out the reviews and the ratings. And if that podcast has a bunch of positive reviews and ratings, well, they're most probably going to give that podcast a chance. So by you taking the time to write a review or to rate the podcast, you might actually be the person that helps sway someone's decision to become a future Vox and Hops head. And that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I am with Justin Coleman of Kriegsgrav. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 320.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Justin Coleman of Kriegsgrav. Justin, how are you doing? It's absolutely great to be with you. How are you feeling today?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for having me. So it's love the show. So it's an honor just to be here and to be talking to you.
Oh, that's so nice. Very, very nice of you to say. Let's dance straight into the darkness. That shitty question that basically every interviewer has been asking since we've been living in these different times. How did you cope with the glorious year of 2020 that rolled into 2021 and hopefully won't be around in 2022? Too, but it might be there for a little bit. How did you cope with your time during the pandemic?
You know, a lot of it was just spending time with my family. They were a huge just help to have, and just to have them around to be, because I have two younger sons, so just to have them, you know, and to focus on them and taking care of just them, and they took care of me, and then to focus on the Kriegsgrav stuff. And just getting the release out in August and ramping up to get that out. And of course, you know, working in between there. But it was really good to have those focuses in my life, because if I didn't have those, I can't imagine. Like, I think it'd be very difficult.
But you are 100% right. I also have two young children. I have the podcast keeping me very busy. Cryptopsy is writing their new record. And I really felt it for my friends that are basically road dogs that are on tour all of the time that don't have that safety blanket to come home to, that basically hop from tour to tour, whether it be that they're on stage or they're teching or they're driving, these road dogs. And I reached out to them and I kept in contact with a lot of them throughout the pandemic to make sure that they were okay, because they didn't have that to keep them level. They didn't have their security blanket, because their security blanket is the road.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think, you know, if that's what you look forward to almost the entirety of the year, that's difficult, man. And I feel for them. Like, I feel pretty fortunate that my life's built around, you know, I guess my day in and day out, like the band's not the foundation of what I do, but I can't imagine. So that's hard.
We're lucky we get the yin and the yang. You know, we get it all. We can look forward to being on tour, and then we look forward to being at home, and then it's back and forth.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing to have, man.
It has been a lot of home, though.
Yeah.
Recently. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, what beer do you have on your side that we're going to be sharing virtually today?
So I have Live Oaks Pils. So it is
Live Oak.
Yes, Live Oak out of the Austin area. They do a lot of traditional styles just very, very well. It was a hard task to decide between them and Southern Star because I love Southern Star's Buried Hatchet Stouts. One of my favorites, right? But went with this. It's just a good everyday drinker. You know, ABV is like 4.7. So it's just one of those solid pilsners. Can't go wrong. So
amazing. It's a perfect way to start a Saturday afternoon, right?
Absolutely. Can't go wrong.
On my side, I have something very cool that I just released. Four of them, actually. And I'm going to let you pick which one I'm going to drink with you today. So I teamed up with Montreal's most metal breweries. There is Le Fermental, who are from Les Anciens, which is just 30 minutes outside of Montreal. And they are probably one of the most metal breweries releasing stuff in the province of Quebec. They got Reanimator, a member of Reanimator's in it, a member of Anonymous is in it. I've known them for many, many years. So I teamed up with them and another very young, very metal brewery, which is actually, and I didn't think about this before I actually sat down to have this conversation, but it makes perfect sense. They're heavily inspired. Their tap room is heavily inspired by True Brewing, which is obviously your brother Zach's brewery in Colorado. So Le Fermental Mutoid is the name of the very metal tap room that's in Montreal right now. They just opened a year ago. They're killing it. They're so damn cool. And they have not released anything because it's only a tap house. You have to go there. You can walk away with growlers, but they haven't canned anything. They haven't bottled anything. So this is actually their first release beer. And I was very excited to team up with them to create a beer to pay homage to the Quebec metal scene, because I, as you well are aware, and I am very well aware, the Quebec metal scene is very vibrant and has been since the 80s with bands such as Voivod, of course, and many other bands. So I wanted to create a beer, a series of beers to honor the Quebec metal scene. And I wanted to do four of them for the four decades of metal that has come out so far. So we created a very cool collab called Ale of the Fathers. And I went with a very wacky old ale. So it's an old ale, which is not a sexy beer, but it's a very cool classic beer, and it's a beer style that I really enjoy. So it's an old ale, Ale of the Fathers. The artwork was designed by Philip Ivanovic, a Vox and Hops alumni. I love him very much. So we did four versions of this beer. So they're all old ales, but they're all a little bit different. So the first one is just the classic old ale, and they all clock in at 6.5% ABV. And then we got the dry hopped one with Fuggle hops. And then there's the Cabernet Sauvignon aged Ale of the Fathers. And then we got the Monster Bourbon aged Ale of the Fathers. So they're all 6.5% ABV. I'll let you choose which one I should drink today. We got the QR code there on the side. I got my friend Jerry Monk, the metal architect, to curate the Ultimate Quebec Metal playlist from the 80s up to today. It is continually evolving. If you think that we've missed an artist, please let me know, because we will drop it right into the playlist exactly at the right spot, because it runs chronologically from the 80s to today. And any new CDs that come out, the metal architect is going to keep updating that. So what should I drink? We got the classic, we got the dry hop, we got the red wine, and we got the bourbon aged.
You know, I'm a big whiskey fan too, so I'm going to have to say bourbon aged.
Hell yes. Now let's see. Now you can. Now it's the ultimate test. If you slip, you know, the wax on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I can get through this quickly and efficiently. I believe I can. Let's see what I got there, Justin. Here we go. What?
Oh yeah, it's got the pull tab. Yeah, man. Sometimes you gotta get that. You gotta get the lighter out and just kind of melt it. Nice. Here it is.
Ooh. That bourbon on the nose is just amazing. Cheers to you, and very happy to be hanging out. Cheers.
Absolutely.
It's got that gorgeous, like, caramel colored body. It's smell of caramel on the nose, like maltiness, bourbon, bite. Ooh, it's amazing.
Love it.
So damn good.
Looks beautiful.
So damn good. It's gorgeous. It's what's really cool about their beers is they actually referment in the bottle. Le fermentau. It's the way that they have their fermenters set up. They're not set up to ferment in the fermenters. They re-ferment in the bottles, and they have just transitioned to cans, and they have mastered re-fermenting in cans, which is a whole new crazy thing that I don't know enough about to actually dig into.
Are you going to sell her some of those for a later time?
I probably will sell her a few, but I've been using a bunch for content, and I tend to drink everything, and my cellar depletes itself very quickly,
yeah.
Especially late at night. I'd love to hear about your very first beer.
Oof. Well, my very first beer was probably when I was like 4. And it was on accident because my dad would drink like, you know, Budweisers and stuff. And just like he'd set them down. And as a kid, and he would tell me the story, I would walk up and I'd grab it and take a sip. So that was the first beer. And I thought it was disgusting, but it's just something I did as a kid. Every time he set it down, it's like, I wanted to drink that. I didn't know why, really? But yeah. Now, if we get to the first beer as a young person, it was probably Bud Light. And I can't say I had a love for it. It took a little while to find my footing in beer, but it was definitely Bud Light. And I didn't get why people loved beer, you know, because I was probably 15, 16, something like that. And it just it didn't do the trick for me.
Did you ever get into craft beer? I feel like you had to.
Yes.
With your brother's relationship. I know that he homebrewed a bunch when he was in Texas before he moved out to Denver.
So that was kind of an adventure we took together because we shared a lot of ideas back and forth, you know, talking about new beers we'd find. So the first, and it's not even a craft beer, but the first kind of adventure we started taking was like Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale, New Belgium Breweries, you know, Fat Tire, because this was in the early 2000s when craft brews weren't just available as readily, and those were kind of the outliers. So finding those was the steps towards like, okay, you know, we could get those, and then asking the beer buyers there like, hey, you know, what else can you get? And really just trying every single thing that we could, because at the time, like, again, Sierra Nevada, like Great Divide Brewery, if you could find a Yeti, that was a pretty big deal. And now they're not too hard to find, but then, so that was really, we would find new beers and talk to, you know, it, just like with music, we would share it together and talk about it. So I think we had a love of music because him and I both played in the same band together for years too. So, you know, we were, you know, close. We would share music and beer and stuff like that. So I think we had that adventure together for a while.
Amazing. At what point did he diverge more into it versus what you did?
Well, I kept drinking and he just started making. you know, it was just something like he had a real passion for as far as like he wanted to try it. And he would just make different recipes and be like, hey, man, you know, what do you think? And over the years, he got a lot better at it because, you know, at first it was definitely some were better than others. but I was more than happy to try what he was doing. And obviously he's progressed to a level where, you know, he's, you know, leading what I think he's doing. You know, he's awesome at it, obviously, and people recognize that, and that's fucking cool.
I remember him mentioning when I had him on the podcast the first time, he mentioned that his first big success of a beer, a homebrew that was a great beer, was a stout. Do you remember that stout?
You know, I don't, unfortunately, because he's been brewing now for such a long time. I'm 40 and he is my younger brother. So he's like 4 years younger. So, you know, he's probably been doing it for almost 20 years. It seems like, maybe 15 years. Yeah. So I remember a porter he did back early on. That was excellent. And I was like, this, whatever you did here, like, this is fantastic. Keep, you know, doing this. And, we talk about that often. He was in town not that long ago, and it's just, you know, I like to ask him where he's going with the true recipes and stuff. And, just in general, you know, we talk about like beers that he's into or, you know, things that I found. Obviously he's immersed in the world, so he knows a lot more, but it's funny because we always kind of come back to the tried and true. Like you can never go wrong with just a solid, again, like he loves Live Oak. He was down doing a collab brewing with them recently. And it's just like, they just make solid recipes. Like their pils is a solid pils. You can't go wrong with stuff like that.
Absolutely. Do you miss being his guinea pig?
Yeah, I especially, I think now he's really mastered it. At the time, there was some nail polish era beers. And I would still drink those, but no, it was fun, man. Like, again, we grew up close. We played music together, so it was always a great time.
Awesome. I love it. Deeper into exactly that, the soundtrack of your youth when you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
So from a kid, like early on, like when I was very small, again, like 4 years old, my dad always had what I would consider a pretty cool musical taste. And he had a vinyl player. That's all we had. He had a vinyl player, cause this was back in like 1986. So, and it was a lot of Southern rock. So a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd, like pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, Second Helping, you know, Street Survivors. And I remember I would sit down as a kid and I'd look at like the cover of Street Survivors and Steve Gaines' face is like, it looks like it's on fire and it would freak me out. But I loved it so much. I just loved the, you know, the guitar attack. And he would play Molly Hatchet records. And I was just, the covers, the Frank Frazetta artwork just drew me in. And I would stare at it. And then I'd stare at the back of these scary looking dudes just like scowling at you. And another one, and this is, so Bryan Adams was the Reckless record.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. The Reckless record was
my dad.
Huge in our household. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was
amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of go back to it now and I'm like, you know, it still kind of holds up. The songs are, you know, they're
fantastic songwriting. I don't know if I mentioned this. I might've said this story on the podcast. I have a Bryan Adams story. And if I have said on the podcast, I apologize to people that are hearing twice, but it's worth hearing twice. And if you're on tour with Cryptopsy, you'll hear it at least once if someone brings up Bryan Adams. We were on tour in the United States. I can't remember what tour it was. I think it was Devastation on the Nation. Cryptopsy headlining. We pull up at a gas station and we needed new windshield wipers or something. And our bus driver knew another bus driver that was in the area. They teamed up together to meet at this specific gas station. So we pull in at this gas station. We were all just about to go to bed. It was like 1:30 in the morning after playing a gig. We had, you know, drank our beers. We were ready for bed. And they're like, the guy, other bus driver, comes on the bus. Hey guys, how's it going? He's like, I just dropped off my artist. Do you want to come and raid the bus? Because I'm going to throw everything out. And we're like, yeah, let's do that. So we all get off our bus, which was made probably in 2001 or something, and step onto a yacht on wheels, brand new Prevost tour bus. It was immaculate. Climb onto this bus. There's flat screen TVs everywhere. There's like organic food. All going to go in the garbage, a bunch of craft beer. We take it all, bring it back onto the bus, and then we hear that it was Bryan Adams' tour bus. And we were like, holy shit, Bryan Adams. So we stayed up till 4 or 5 in the morning, eating his food, drinking his beers, singing, all of us, of course, you know, Bryan Adams songs the whole night. It was a crazy epic party night. And then we wake up the next morning and we were like talking to the bus driver. We're like, that was so cool last night. That's so cool with Bryan Adams. He's like, Bryan Adams. He's like, that wasn't Bryan Adams' tour bus. It was Ryan Adams' tour bus.
Oh.
So we spent the whole night singing the wrong dude's songs. Because I couldn't even name you a Ryan Adams song, but I definitely know a bunch of Bryan Adams songs. That's my Bryan Adams song.
You know what, though? There's never a wrong time to celebrate Bryan Adams. So It works out really well. Cuts like a knife, you know. You can never go wrong.
Hell yeah. I want to hear about your first shows, the first time you went to go see live music, first time that you saw a band perform.
Okay, so first concert I ever went to will be etched in my memory forever because it was Metallica. And I was such a Metallica
freak. Really?
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. I think I was 15. And we saw the show in Fort Worth that was filmed for the DVD, that show that they did there, The Cunning Stunts or whatever, that show. And I didn't know it was going to be filmed, but
yeah.
I went, I mean, I was such a huge fan. And then to see like my favorite band In the Flesh, which they had Corrosion of Conformity open, and I was a huge fan.
So cool.
Oh, yeah. So having them open was amazing in and of itself, you know, because Deliverance, oh, it's so good. Anyway. But they do their show, and then they have all the shit that breaks and explodes, and the roadie gets, like, thrown into the air. And I was like, what is this? This is fucking insane. Like, you know, I didn't know what to think about it, but it blew my mind. I already knew that I had to have that be a part of my life before then, but, like, that was... It solidified. Like, I couldn't stop talking about it for weeks. It was just, it was an out-of-body experience almost. It was as close to a spirituality as I think for myself you could get. Because, I mean, it blew my mind. It was incredible.
Did you get the DVD or the VHS afterwards?
You know, I didn't get either. I had the box set for the Binge and Purge stuff, and that was like 200 hours of Metallica footage, so I felt pretty...
Jesus.
It was a lot. Yeah. So I felt pretty good with that, but no, I never actually got it, ironically enough, but...
Maybe you're there.
Yeah.
You never know. You see a little, little Justin there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My cousin took me because my dad's like, you know, this isn't really... I don't know why he didn't want to go, but he didn't, so I had my cousin take me, and it was amazing.
Brother must have been jealous, or was he there with you?
No, you know, and at the time it wouldn't have made sense because he would have been 11. So it
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he was almost there, but he wasn't there yet. But I would return the favor to him because I would take him years later to see Testament on the Gathering tour. And he was, I drove because he couldn't drive yet, if I remember correctly. And that was pretty fucking amazing. So
awesome. Amazing. How about your first time on stage? Do you remember your first show?
I do, unfortunately. It was in my high school band, and I don't know how the gig was set up because it was super weird, but there was a music store in the area called Mars. This is back in 98, I think. And they had, so it was kind of like a Guitar Center, but they had a stage.
In the music store.
Yeah, in the music store. They had a stage, and it was...
That's not a stupid idea.
No, it's not a bad idea, but it, now thinking about it, it's kind of weird, but it was cool at the time, and they had like a drum set up, and... So the singer's dad, I think, knew someone that worked there, and he was like, hey, can they come up and play on like a weekend, just a couple songs? Because we were writing an album, and they agreed. I don't know why, but they agreed. And so that was my first time on stage, and we played to 15 people, 20 people, and it was mainly, well, you had the people shopping, so it was them, and then our family members. So like our moms and dads and like aunts and uncles. And you know, it's super weird because it's your first show and then you're trying to get into it and you're looking at just a bunch of parents or authority figures and you're like, this isn't really giving me the vibe I want, but it is what it is. So it was super weird.
Were you guys ready?
You know, we were ready as far as like being able to play the songs proficiently and get through our set. But we didn't get back that, like, you know, when you play a show of just rowdy motherfuckers that are giving it back to you and you're like, yes, yeah. And you feed off it. It was just like, all right, so lunch.
It's over.
Yeah, that was fun. So let's get back to reality. But it was cool. It was still cool.
It reminds me of when I was in 3 Mile Scream, we played a Hard Rock Cafe, which no longer exists here in Montreal on Crescent Street. And people were eating dinner. Well, my metalcore band performed on the stage. It was just ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Do you remember your first gig when someone, you did get that feedback from the crowd, your first gig where there was a proper crowd and that energy was going back and forth?
Yeah, for sure. That's when I said I had a band with my brother. We played in a black metal band called Dagon. And I remember we played a lot of shows, but the first time I really, really felt that, we played this small club in Fort Worth. And I'd be lying if I say I remember the name now. I don't, and I wish I did. But I think we had just, it was like our EP release or something like that. And I mean, this place, it was a small room, but it was full. So that just felt really, really cool because it was like, oh shit, there are people here, you know, and they're here to see us. And just in between songs, people were screaming and, you know, up front headbanging. And it was just like, okay, they get this. Or at least if they don't, they're intoxicated enough to act like they do. Like, this is fucking cool. You know, so it felt very gratifying to have that back, you know, for the first time I feel it and go, okay, the music's being reciprocated by the people listening to it in front of us. It was awesome.
It's the best feeling in the world. And it's what I've been missing the most throughout the pandemic is that connection outside of my house and a computer screen. But
well, yeah, it feeds into something primal, and I think it gives back to you as a creator, because you can make it, you know, and record it, but when you feel that back, that primal energy coming back at you, it definitely does kind of give you something back for what you create.
Perfect segue into The Sundering. You just released this record back in August, but I've seen that you're already working on new material.
Yes.
But yet you haven't had a chance to showcase The Sundering. And I was going to ask this question. Do you feel like you're cheating on The Sundering by already doing new material when you haven't actually had that exposure and reciprocal energy share yet?
Kind of. And yes, to answer it quickly, yes. And it boils down to a lot of factors, which kind of suck. But it's like getting set up to play live again and getting, you know, everyone on the same sheet of music, which we're kind of doing now. But we want to make sure the timing's right and everything's set to go. But also, it's like I can't stop and the guys can't stop, like, writing. And we write a lot and we write all the time.
That's a good fucking problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. We just sit on riffs. And again, when we wrote The Sundering, we probably trashed 4 or 5 songs.
Wow.
And numerous ideas. It's just like this, you know, it didn't meet the criteria for what we wanted for the album. So we're always writing. And it does kind of suck because we need to get out there, and we will get out there to showcase the songs from The Sundering, I believe, pretty soon. Once the holidays are kind of done and we're getting into the new year, I think everything will come together and we'll start airing those songs live. But we're still going to we continually write. And, you know, might as well kind of put that energy back out there and let people know that we are writing new material. So it does feel bad because it needs to get aired. But can't stop it.
It's an awesome problem to have. Trust me, I wish Cryptopsy was in those seats where we typically just release the album and then work it and tour it over the pandemic. Luckily, we were already in a writing stage.
Well, hey, friends. My name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
You didn't get to have a proper release for this. If you could set up a perfect release tour to put you in front of the perfect audience, what bands would be on that bill to get more exposure for your band?
To get more exposure. Well, you know, that's kind of a cop-out because you could go like it's like you can go Metallica or Slipknot and they're going to have just a huge draw.
People that are going to walk out of there going, oh shit, that's my new favorite band because it's curated so properly.
So based upon our sound, I'd have to say something like Insomnium, Rotting Christ, you know, Catatonia, maybe. I know those are kind of all over the place, but I feel like we draw, and this is just my opinion, so take it for what it is, but that's where I draw a lot of influence from, are bands like that, kind of moody, you know, dark, kind of black metal, death metal, a little doom. So I'd probably say something like that, where you take like maybe even Borknagar, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. That's a little different, a little eclectic, but it would make a really cool show. So I'd probably say Borknagar, Rotting Christ, Catatonia.
That would be sick. Sounds a lot like Devastation on the Nation, which is coming up, except for Insomnium there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I kind of ripped on that tour, except just, you know, toss them in. And you kind of had a band like that on the tour anyway, so.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Shitty question. You guys are from Texas. It's probably the most liberal state. So you could have performed the whole time. Why didn't you?
You know, a lot of it had to do with just trying to be cautious, having kids, having families. Also, you know, we all have consistent jobs and just our schedules, but really it came down to, like, not to get too personal, but my wife had COVID, and it,
oh shit, okay,
it was very, very severe for her. And, you know, so just trying to be cautious and trying to be courteous to everyone involved, you know, because it was something that was very important, and it hit our household pretty hard. So it was really not trying to play with fire and just waiting till things got better. And that's what it kind of boils down to, is just when it seems a little bit more clearer, you know, just playing the field like that, honestly.
It's the best thing to do, and I think you did the right thing. And if anyone listening doesn't agree with me, that's okay, because we're allowed to do whatever we want to do in this life, and we're allowed to still be friends if we disagree, right?
That's how it goes, man. You're supposed to have friends that have differing opinions. It's okay.
Second annoying question. You grew up playing in a band with your brother, and he moved away. And he's in one of the most popular metal bands right now. How does that feel? Is there ever a moment that you have a tinge of jealousy? Or is it always just, I'm just so proud of him? You know, he was just voted number two best new album by Decibel. His album just came out recently. So,
well, this one,
how does that feel?
This one got number two. The other ones have scored higher. So there is that.
Okay.
So, you know, he was down, like I said, not too long ago, like a couple weeks ago, a month ago. And we talk about this because he also has another project with Max Cavalera, Go Ahead and Die.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, like when he called me, he's like, hey, man, I'm going to be in a band with Max Cavalera. And I'm just like, fuck you. Like, no, you're not. And he's like, no, because, like, I mean, Sepultura is huge to me, to him. Like, oh, my God. So it was like, that's about as high, other than, again, James Hetfield being like, hey, bro, you want to make some music together? That's about as big as it gets. Or Tom Araya calling you to tell you happy birthday or something. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. But I'm always proud of him. And we talk about achievements. And, you know, it's just, ever since we were kids and playing music together, it's like, he gets to have, like, with his footprint and his bands, that indelible mark on the metal scene that we always read about, we dreamed about, that so many bands strive for, to create that footprint on a larger scale. And I think it's pretty fucking cool, man. Like, I'm super proud of him and what he's been able to achieve with that. And you can't be anything but just amazed at the fact of how far he's taken the music. Cause, you know, we've been there together at the beginning. He moves and he gets to progress on, and it's nothing but love and support and getting to see where he gets to go. And vicariously, cause honestly, I don't want to tour like he tours. I don't want to live a band lifestyle like he does. So it's kind of cool just to vicariously hear his stories, like, you know, hey, you know, we got to talk to so-and-so, or we played Psycho Vegas and, you know, we bumped into these people. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, yeah, fucking tell me, man. That's awesome. Like, because honestly, like, I don't really want to live that life, but he gets to do it and I get to talk to him about it and he gets to do these cool experiences. And I think it's wonderful. You can't think it's not, you know, like, again, he got to be on your show twice and I listened to this show. So I was like, that's fucking cool. There's just little things like that. It's an amazing thing.
So damn cool. I love brotherly love. I love maturity like that to support each other. You should definitely, it's like one of these things where Chemist and Kigs Grove that sort of fit together, but don't fit together. So it's not like you guys could ever tour together, but if you could tour together, wouldn't that be sick?
That would be. It would end up us hanging out and drinking beer and probably playing board games most of the time at night, because we're super wild and crazy like that. So, or just like listening.
What's the board game?
I don't know, man. You could get like Ticket to Ride, or, you know, you could get like one of those escape rooms or something like that. I have this slasher board game called Last Friday.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's like obviously a riff on Friday the 13th, and you try not to die. So something like that, you know, no much. So love horror movies. So probably watch some corny horror movies and play some board games like that. Be awesome.
All you need is a weird band that makes both of your bands make sense together.
Mm-hmm.
You need the bridge band. That's really what needs to happen.
I think that bridge band should be Iron Maiden.
Dude, there you go.
Why not?
Come on.
Yeah, no big deal.
Come on.
Come on, come on, Bruce. I know you're listening.
Come on, Bruce. He likes beer.
Yeah, exactly. See, it fits. It fits.
I am very lucky that I get to do what I'm doing right now. Right before I sit down in this chair, I am always concerned. Am I prepared enough? Did I do enough research? Am I ready? This is how I've been filling the void of performing on stage. How have you been filling the void of being on stage?
Honestly, this isn't a super hard one to answer because we don't play live that often. So it's just we're in constant contact with each other and writing new music. I think that's what it is sharing ideas constantly. And we talk to each other like daily. We have a group thread where we're constantly like, hey, man, check out this record, or hey, I got this riff and send it, or just like, hey, this is a funny thing I saw. So I think the ability to, and we're very open with communication. So we talk about, we know where we stand playing live. So we know what's coming. And so it's not like there's this weird block in conversation where we don't know where we're headed as far as our goals as a band. So really filling the void with the guys, it's just talking and sharing ideas and still just openly communicating pretty much every day, multiple times a day. Because we're friends like that, you know, we enjoy each other's company. So even if it's something stupid, you know, we'll get a group text and just that'll fire it up for the day. So,
which is why you guys write so much, because you're constantly in contact and you're constantly in that creative mindset.
Yeah, 100%. Like I'll hear a new riff from like a new record or a song, you know, and I'm like, oh, I got to write something like that. And I'll record it on my phone and send it to the guys and just shit like that. And it opens a dialogue immediately. And then Cody will be amazing like he always is, or, you know, so we're always, I think that fills the void of playing live because we're just communicating all the time.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm jealous. I like that. I like that very much. Do you, have you, and I apologize if you have, a Kigs Grav beer? Have you done a beer collab yet?
We have not. We would love to.
Okay, now it's the next question. Why the hell hasn't your brother made you a beer?
You know, I try not to overstep my bounds with what he's doing and what I'm doing, because I don't want to be like, hey, man, like if he wants to approach me and do it, I'm open to it. But I know he's also very busy and he already kind of has things lined out for the year. So
absolutely. No, I understand that part of it. Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to.
So if you could do a collab with someone, doesn't have to be your brother. What style of beer would it be? What would you call it? And yeah,
I would have to say it would probably be Southern Star Brewery in Conroe, just because I love their beers already. And my brother's an easy one. So I want somewhere it's not too far from here. The owner, Dave, is a metal maniac. He's super cool. He did a collab with Nigura Bungit not too long ago. So every now and again, like I sent him the new Kriegsgrav record. So, you know, he's into our music and what we do. So I think it'd be cool to have them involved because he already likes the band. He knows the band. He loves metal, so he understands the aesthetic. And I believe the style, just because this is my personal favorite, would be a Russian Imperial Stout. That is hands down. Like you can't drink a lot of them, but it is my favorite style. It's a little wordy, but it's a song title from our album Lux Capta Est in the Winter White. So like something riffed around that, you know.
You could do a white Russian Imperial.
Ooh. That's good, and it's different. See? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a white Russian. But then you have to tie it into, like, Big Lebowski somehow or something, you know? Like, you have to have one of the...
Oh, yeah, it's true, yeah.
One of the nihilist guys on the can or something. That takes away from the band, so...
Whoever is listening that wants to make this, hit me up, and I'll make sure Justin gets the message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or email Dave at Southern Star... and just politely encourage him.
I love it. One last question. Probably doesn't happen to you very often, but every once in a while, it happens to everyone. You got two young children. You're busy. You work out. You're in shape. But every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Man, it's got to be... So it's a lot of water. Obviously, that's like first thing down the hatch when you wake up with that dry mouth and that headaches, you gotta pound like a large cup full of water, and then some type of big breakfast, hash browns, you know, some type of scramble, the scramble's up to you, the ingredients you want to add. So, for example, I eat mainly vegan, so it'd be like some like just egg with some, you know, kale in there and a lot of toast.
Absorb it.
Yeah, maybe some oatmeal in there too, just all those things together. Breakfast is probably maybe some pancakes. Can't go wrong with pancakes. So yeah, a big breakfast. That's the way you got to go. And then from there, the rest of the day, hopefully it goes well, but that's how it's got to start.
You got to sneak a nap in.
Yeah.
If you can sneak a nap, it's amazing, but the kids don't let us do that.
No, that's never going to happen again. Never. Naps are done.
That was the best. That was the best when they were young, and I'd be like, I just got to get to nap. If I can get to nap,
oh man,
then I'm okay.
Yeah, as soon as they lay down, you're like, all right, let's do this. Not now, man. I got a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old. There is no napping.
Oh, shit. Amazing. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time, hanging out with me, talking about your life, music, and craft beer. It was a true, true pleasure. Everyone go check out that new Kigs Grav. The Sundering came out via Wise Blood Records on August 6th. It's amazing. Justin, I really had a good time. I hope you did, too.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, did I ever have a blast connecting with Justin. As soon as we finished this episode, I wrote him a message and I was like, I'm so sorry that we spoke about your brother so much. This episode was supposed to be about you, but he was cool and he did not mind. I'm just so enamored with True Brewing and Chemist, and Zach's a 2-time alumni, and I'm just very stoked and happy that Justin is now also a part of the alumni. Massive shout out to Justin. Thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with me and to be cool. And I'm very excited to see what Kriegs Grav has coming up in 2022. If you have not checked them out, you absolutely should. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as any pertinent information for any cool projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public. And you will get the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man, Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. Now, the Brutal Awakenings playlist is packed with the freshest, the newest, the most cool, the heaviest, the most extreme new music. Every Friday, Jerry adds new albums to this playlist. It's a massive, massive playlist. And if you're looking for something new to listen to, well, the Brutal Awakenings playlist is for you. It's available on both Apple Music and Spotify, and it's absolutely killer. There's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. I hope you're all stoked and ready for next week, because it is the beginning of Vox and Hops Sober February 2022. I have a bunch of episodes with a bunch of amazing humans talking about their journey, about sobriety, about balance, about being straight edge. There's just a bunch of amazing episodes coming up, and I can't wait to share them all with you. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious rest of the week. I will be back next week on February 1st with the very first Sober February episode of 2022. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one hit thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.